What is up, internet? This is Andy tonight. Normally, this is Chad's job. He's kind of defaulted into the host position of the show. But our tricycle, that is the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, has kind of turned into a unicycle for tonight, sort of. We do have a guest, and I'm going to introduce him right now. His name is Jay Perry. Jay, you are the founder of Friends with Hearts, correct?
That is correct.
So we are going to get to that, but just give us the Cole's Notes version of what Friends with Hearts is and what you're doing.
Okay, so in the simplest form, we come together as a community and we help give kids a Christmas. So that is like as simple as it gets. We sponsor kids at Christmas to make sure that they get the Christmas that they deserve. Yeah.
Yeah. So for our listeners that don't know, you're based in Hamilton. We're based in Hamilton. But Friends with Hearts is not just a Hamilton thing. You've branched out a little bit as well, right?
Yeah. So we started this thing in 2011, and I think it, you know, had some early success. And what I mean by early success is the first year we raised $1,400, which I thought was insane. I thought that was amazing. And it gave me some motivation to keep going and try and make it bigger. And then I think in year three or four, we opened up a Friends with Hearts chapter in Vancouver. My friend Jackie, who was living out there, wanted to take on the reins to run the group out there. And it's funny because I never envisioned any of this, let alone other chapters. And it just happened with her leadership. And it's funny because when she actually approached me and was like, "Hey, I'd love to run a group out here. What do you think?" And I was like, "Yo, that's a wicked idea." But like, it was kind of late in the year. And I was like, "How about this? Let's plan it out for the year or for the next 2 months, so the following year we can get it up and running." And she was like, "No, like, let's do it now." And I love that mentality of kind of like, let's just do it and figure it out. And I was a little nervous because, you know, giving away your baby, sort of say, into someone else's hands. But it went well, it went extremely well, to the point where then we had chapters opened up in Toronto, Niagara, Cornwall, and then in New York City, which was crazy. So yeah, it's been a wild ride so far.
We've known each other for a while, and we're going to get to all that, but just the way it's grown organically, I've watched it from the beginning, and it's amazing what you've done. And obviously there's a lot of other people involved with that. It's not just you, but selfishly, I guess, is the only way I could say it. It's really cool to see, like I said, the organic growth of it and still going strong. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's funny because like it definitely has grown, you know, like you say, organically. I still am in awe and amazed on how it's grown and why it's grown, because to me, it kind of doesn't follow any sort of strategic plan or any sort of formula. We don't market. We don't spend any money on marketing. There's no one getting paid. The only like so-called marketing we would do is just making social media posts. So in terms of like how I was taught about business and how to grow things, it doesn't follow any of those paths, which is interesting. So I think that the growth is totally based on enthusiasm, which is a weird thing to say, but I think people, you know, really want to support and help out because they see the community that's come together as a team. Now, you know me, like I struggle with having credit put towards my name being involved with this. I get it. I get that there should be a face. I understand all that, but I don't need it. And there's so many different pieces to this puzzle. You know, you are a big piece of it. You know, your support. I think that anyone who donates or shares or does anything, tells a friend about it, is part of this massive team that we call Friends with Hearts. And it's, if it wasn't for all those people, I don't know what, you know, how we wouldn't have grown this big. Not for sure, not that big. So, you know, kudos to everyone out there who's helped us get here. And I owe a lot of gratitude towards them for sure.
Yeah, it's a very unique model. I don't know of any other organization. It's very unique. So we're going to get into the details of why that is. But this, of course, is a I don't want to say a disability-themed podcast, but we would be going off script if we didn't at least talk about disabilities a little bit and overcoming adversities. Tagline, no excuses. So
can I ask you a question, Andy?
You can ask me anything.
When you guys, you know, you say this is a disability podcast, what's your definition of disability?
That's a great question. I think my definition is the society's definition of disability, and the whole point of the podcast is kind of to get away from that, right?
So yeah.
If you're new to the show, listening for the first time, I have my own business. My regular co-host, Chad, is a teacher, and Brett is employed as well. And we're just, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we're kind of the exception and not the normal, right? So
right.
Breaking the stereotypes of disabilities. So,
because I see, you know, I see disability as like a term that can be defined in multiple facets, right? You know, I look at someone like yourself, and I might see what society might deem as like a physical or a visual disability, right?
Yeah.
But like, you sit down and talk with you, and there's nothing that like would ever seem like a mental disability versus the opposite, right? There's somebody that you visually look at them and you think there's no disability in there, but then you sit down with them and you realize like, okay, maybe they have some sort of mental situation going on, whether that's like, you know, even depression, anxiety, or something like that. I also deem that as a disability. I don't know if you do or not. But to me, it's like, you're right. I think disability is like an interesting word, because it's something that's in front of you that's causing you a struggle to do something. Would you agree kind of like with that? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. It's, to be honest, man, I hate the word disability because right at the start, you're at a disadvantage, right? You know what I mean? Like I don't go around introducing myself as, "Hi, I'm Andy and I have a disability," right?
Exactly. You know, I have never seen you with a disability. I was first introduced to you and like, "Hey, this is Andy, I'm Jay," and that's kind of how I know you, right?
Yeah.
We all have our situations to deal with, and like you said, like everyone's different, and I think that's what makes them super unique and super special, is that they are different and not boring, the same old person. So, but with your podcast, I mean, I think what you guys are doing is incredible, because, you know, there probably are a lot of people out there in similar situations as you guys who think, I can't do anything. I shouldn't do anything. You know, society tells me I'm supposed to just sit at home and everyone's supposed to tend to me. And then you look at someone like yourself, it's like married and kids, and it's like, yeah, so what? I have this, what you might call disability, but I'm still living my life, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, to your point, I think a big part of our listenership is able-bodied people who who've been turned on to the show for one reason or another. And just some of the things we talk about, that we'll get messages being, I just didn't think about things that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just a little shift in mindset, right? But to go back to what you're talking about, one of the guests we had on here recently, he said, everybody has something, right?
Yep.
Sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's both. But what are you going to do with what you've been dealt, right? So, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay anything. I can't imagine having a life-altering accident where I'm all of a sudden in a wheelchair, like going from an able-bodied life. Like, I can't imagine what that would be like.
Right.
But this is the only life I've ever known, right?
Exactly.
So, do things a little bit differently. And that's one of the things I want to kind of dive into with you is when we met, it was because we were working together to do some promotional work for this organization called Join Hope of Haiti. And what they do, the long and the short of it, is send aid down to Haiti, send teams down to distribute that aid. And you're a photographer by trade. I was kind of brought in to do the video production side of things, and we ended up going down together. The only reason I went, well, I'm not going to say the only reason because that's not accurate, but a big reason I went was because it was after our initial meeting, you said, when are you going to go down? And it's kind of funny, I'm going to say this now, but initially I thought there's no way I can do that, right? So you just kind of said, why not? So I thought it was a good fit for the podcast, and it's too bad Chad's not here tonight because I know he has a ton of questions for you. But when we went down, it definitely wasn't pretty, but we made stuff work, and it was an experience that I'll never forget, right? So we'll dive into that a little bit. But to echo what you're saying, I think, like I said already, everybody's got something, and it's just navigating around that, right? Because if you're able-bodied right now, even considered able-bodied and healthy, in 15, 20 years, are you still going to be like it?
Right.
I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just the population is aging, right? So,
yeah. What is also considered able-bodied? Like, what is that definition?
That's a broad strokes definition, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody like yourself, I think. I don't even know, to be completely honest, but
right.
Yeah. Because I'm sure, like, exactly what we're talking about, you probably have things going on, right? But at the surface, you look like you have everything together, right? So,
You know what? Like, you called me, like, able-bodied, but it's like, am I mentally able, if that's a word? You know, I deal with anxiety all the time,
right?
And it's like, that's something that nobody sees on the surface, right? And it's unfortunate because, like, it's not a visual thing. People don't treat it as like a serious issue. And now, I know the level of my anxiety isn't even probably close to compared to somebody else's who's like dealing with it tenfold, and still they're not able to get help or whatnot, which is like super, super unfortunate. So, you know, you're right. It's like, you know, you deal the hand that you, or play the hand that you're dealt, and play it the best that you can, because otherwise, you know, you've got nothing. So you're right. Instead of like playing the victim card, just be like, no, like, this is who I am, and I'm going to make the best of it. And if you don't believe in me, just watch. Which I think is kind of cool. And I know that you do that as well. It's just like, you know, I've seen you, I've seen you where I've even been like, is he gonna be okay there? Is he gonna get through that? And I'm just like, well, he just proved me wrong again, you know, like no problems. And you know, watching you in Haiti going around, it's like, you know, no complaining, nothing that. It's just like, it's what you do. It's just part of your life. And it's like, who cares? Let's go through with it.
Yeah. So to back up a little bit, we, like I said, we met and it was one of the first questions was, when are you going to go down? And obviously, I knew a lot of people within the organization or I wouldn't have been helping out. But the feedback I got was always, essentially, it's not safe for you to go down. Like, I don't know if you could physically handle it, which is kind of funny. But anyways, in texting back and forth, talking back and forth with you, we made it happen, right? And the reason we went was because one of the fundraisers they do is they do a half marathon. Is it? It's just a 5K run. They don't. It's not a marathon.
Yeah, I can't remember what the distance was.
But it's not really relevant. But my role in going down was to start and promote a wheelchair portion of this race. And you were going to come down, get some footage, and then we were going to put together a promotional video and keep promoting it. Long and the short of it, I had been training for wheelchair racing for a little while, so I was pretty comfortable in what I was going down to do. And then we get down there, and they say, well, you're not going to be wheelchair racing. You're going to be hand biking. And I was like, that's awesome. I've never been on a hand bike in my life, right? So they're like, we'll take a whole day. You'll get trained. No worries. It's nothing strenuous. It's a short distance, relatively short distance. And we'll give you a whole day and you'll be good. But just the nature of the way things happen, especially with very little infrastructure, my training day turned into a half hour of training, right? Yeah. So we got the basics, and I mean the basics, right? And I just remember being at the training facility, and after we got the shots, you came over, you're like, are you good? And I was like, to be honest, I don't know. Like, we're just going to have to wait and see, right? So, and then next day the race happened, and we ended up going into live traffic in Haiti. Ended up making it out okay, but there was a couple close calls there for sure.
Yeah, that was a wild time, man. Like, I was even upset at the lack of training that they gave you. Because they were putting you out, well, what we thought was the race, and it turned out to just be roads, and just so terribly, the path was so terribly organized. We didn't know where we were going. You know, I did feel bad for you. I mean, you ended up finishing the race, which was amazing. But yeah, that was quite the experience, definitely.
Yeah, I think, but I think to your point, though, what you said previously, like, I don't know, I guess I could have packed it in and said, nope, like, you know what I mean? I'm not even going to, I'm not ready for this. This wasn't what I was training for. But at that point, what are you going to do, right? Like,
yeah, you know, you're right. It's tough. I think it was like the situation in the track that you were on that was like super dangerous. And I mean, you were going up against like Olympic hand bike racers, weren't you? Wasn't that guy like on the national team or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So to kind of put it in perspective, the reason we got lost, first of all, we forgot to say you're riding backwards on a bike in Haitian traffic, which is amazing on its own. But so Yeah, one of the guys was a Paralympic athlete, and the starting gun goes, and he just takes off, and I'm trying my best just to keep him in sight, and a bunch of spectators on the side of the road were telling me which way to go, and or at least that's what I thought they were doing. I made the turn that they told me to take, and all of a sudden we were in live traffic, and yeah. I remember there was a point where I was just like, I'm done, and I'm looking at you on the bike, and you're just like one stroke at a time, and you like just start going again, and that's what we did. We ended up finding our way back to the course, and yeah, we were very late, but
yeah, man, it goes back to your, like you said, your podcast, though, No Excuses. You know, it was an unfortunate set of circumstances that we found ourselves in, but you pulled through, right? And I think, like, you know, you're a better person for it. We had that experience, which is, you know, on video. But you're right. You finished. There was no packing it in. Like, you could have turned around, just been like, this is awful. But you didn't. So, you know, commend you for your bravery and your willingness to do that. That was awesome. You know, in Ontario, at least, there's, you know, paved roads, right? Everywhere, sidewalks everywhere. In Haiti, it's just like dirt on a lot of places, dirt paths and bumps, and they definitely don't make it easy if you have some sort of disability to navigate around and move around. They definitely don't. But we only can say that because we live here. Like you said before, it's what you know, right? It's what they know, and they're easily like navigating it because that's what they've grown up with since day one, is these roads. And you know, them coming to Canada would be like a luxury in a sense, but it doesn't faze them because that's all they know. Which and again, no excuses for them. They just do what they need to do to get by.
Yeah. And you introduced me to a guy. He's a painter by trade, and exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, Ehrlich.
He had a lot of hardships growing up. His parents gave up on him, right? Kind of left him at an orphanage doorstep, and just kind of took off, right? So, but he's a painter now, and he's making a living.
Yeah, and he's a painter, but I mean, I guess the most important part, he had what one leg, and going around on crutches, and he can move faster than a lot of people that I know, and he can paint faster than a lot of people that I know, and the work he did was exceptional. So he figured out a way to do it, which was like super impressive. And, you know, really nice guy. But again, he didn't let what he didn't have hinder what he could do, which was amazing to see and really inspirational.
I'm very thankful that you introduced us because, yeah, any issues I thought I had or I think I have, I just like to think about all the things that he's overcome, right? Like, forget the disability, just the fact that basically your family is saying you're not worth it and just throws you away. Like, I can't even imagine that. And then to still get up and be like, yeah, I'm going to be productive.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So that kind of is the nuts and bolts of what happened in Haiti. There's a lot more to it, but I always say this to our guests. There's always so much more we can talk about, but I want to be really respectful of your time. So we can always do it again when the other two are back. So,
for sure.
There is a Haiti connection to what you do for a living now. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. So, I went down to Haiti my first time in 2010. Just kind of like this up and coming new photographer. That's what I called myself. Didn't really have much work at home. And then, long story short, I took a photo of a little girl that was looking up at me. And when I got home, that photo ended up like winning awards, going in art shows and stuff. And ever since then, I've been able to work full time as a photographer. And I really believe that that was that image that kind of put me on the map to other people to see my work and see what I was able to do and kind of like storytell through an image, which is pretty interesting. And then it kind of just, you know, went, kept going up and up and up, and the work kept coming in, some cool jobs too. Got to shoot some like athletes, which was awesome. Some like artists, and still using my camera for my work till this day, which is incredible.
Yeah, man, you've traveled the world doing that stuff. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I owe that girl a lot. I don't like to believe in fate. I don't, but it was just interesting that we were both there at the same time, and she looked up at me at the same time, and I put my camera down there at that time and snapped the image. It's funny because I look at the photo now and there's so many things I would do technically different if I were to shoot that again today. So that's what's kind of cool about photography. It's, you know, sometimes it's tough to recreate a similar image. There's always something different about it. Even if the lighting's the same, it's like expression's different or the eyes are a little bit different. And so I caught everything on the perfect day. And that's like the photo I was known for quite a while, for sure.
One of the things that you've done more recently, you wrote a book, I want to make sure I get this right, but it's for caregivers who family members or friends are sick, correct?
So it's definitely for the caregiver, somebody who might need some sort of insights into the world of caregiving. Unfortunately, in 2013, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and given 9 months to a year to live. And I quit everything. You know, I quit work and whatever I had to do and to take care of him. And while I was navigating that kind of caregiving journey, I was doing it somewhat alone, you know, had my family helping, but I was looking for resources on information that could help me for questions that I had. And there wasn't much out there, especially for someone my age. So when, you know, my father ended up passing away, I didn't want people to go through what I went through alone. Now, so I just kind of put pen to paper and just didn't know what was going to come out, and whatever came out. And it's been, you know, it's been helping people around the world now. And that's like the coolest thing ever, getting a message like that saying, hey, I've been using this book now. So-and-so, my family member is sick and it's really helping me do this or do whatever. Now, it's not a scientific book by any means. It's a short book. It's meant to be read quickly and then, you know, go spend the time with your loved one. But it's been a really interesting experience. It's funny because I feel like the book was written and driven from grief, that if the book didn't exist and I sat down today and tried to write it, I don't think I could. I don't think it's in me anymore to write it. And it's, the book was probably a way for me to deal with the death of my dad and to go through grieving, which is a pretty interesting thing to look back on and something I never thought I was going through while it was happening. So it was, you know, pretty interesting experience. It's for sale on Amazon, but I'm trying to figure out a way to get it. People can get it for free. So right now, my website, there's a free PDF download You just sign up with your email and it sends you that. I don't need your email. I don't want it. Couldn't find another way to get you it, any sort of like app that would host it other than that. So, you know, if you do it, I'm not going to email you. It's not adding yourself to any email list, but it's a free PDF download of it. And until I can find a way to get the hard copy in people's hands for free, you know, I'd love to do that, because a lot of people, I don't like to read on the computer. But that's in the future, just to get it to people for free, for sure.
You need to get an audiobook, man. That's my deal right now. But
yeah, that's an interesting idea. I have to look into that and how to like get it up on like Audible or those websites or because it's like, it's not a podcast, right? So it's an audiobook. But you're right. I should look into that, because I have the means to record it. I don't know. I don't know why I haven't, to be honest.
So you're a photographer. You got this book out now, but let's get back to Friends with Hearts. And I think right now, for everything that's going on in the world right now, Christmas is on the day we record. We are a month away from Christmas Eve. And to be totally honest with you, the only reason I'm thinking about Christmas right now is because my daughter will see something and say, I want that for Christmas. And just with everything else going on, it's not even kind of in my thought process right now. Why I say all that is because I think right now, Friends with Hearts is more important than ever, just because people are struggling more than ever. So let's talk a little bit about how people get involved if they want to help out.
If people kind of want to come on board with what we are doing, I totally would love to invite you to join our team. And when I say join our team, that doesn't just mean to donate. If you're interested to donate, you know, we have a GoFundMe page up, or we do email transfers. But I consider sharing a social media post just as important as a donation, because we are in a year where these kids are going to need this help more than ever. And we have no idea who might see something if you share it. And it might be that individual that helps us take care of these kids, that helps us get to that next level, or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, a lot of information is on friendswithhearts.com that you can kind of see. And like you said, you said this earlier, it's a unique model that we're doing. And it is, because like every single cent that comes in goes to the families. There isn't anyone that gets paid. There isn't anyone that takes a cut from it. Now, it actually costs me money to do this, in terms of website hosting, little like technical thing behind the scenes, stuff like that. So it's money out of my pocket. It's been money out of my pocket for 10 years. So what we did last year was, we ended up selling some sweaters, some Friends with Hearts sweaters, and tried to keep it as low as possible. Like I see some people, there's the markup on the sweaters is like pretty crazy right now. We were selling them for like $35. And our profit off that was only a couple bucks for each sweater. And we put that money towards all those costs, all the website and behind the scenes costs, which was pretty, pretty amazing. Now, I feel like I've found a kind of like a loophole in the charitable giving process, because Friends with Hearts isn't a charity. It's not a registered charity. It's not a registered nonprofit. It's just a community of people that want to help out. Now, Friends with Hearts Hamilton is partnered with Good Shepherd Center in Hamilton, who is a charity. So if someone makes a large donation to us, we're able to get them a tax receipt through Good Shepherd, which is interesting. So we have that ability through them without having to register as a charity and go through all those lawyers and have a board of directors. And to me, that's just like money, 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 money that could go to the kids. And I don't know why more people aren't doing something like this, because like, I think it's a lot of people run nonprofits and a lot of people run charities. And sometimes I question their motives and why they're doing it. If they really care about the end result or not. So this is, you're right, it's kind of a unique model that we do. And it's, you know, it's funny, it's worked, and I don't know why it's worked. I can't put a reason behind that. But it's been an interesting 10 years. And it's crazy that it's been 10 years too. We just hit $200,000 raised all time for Friends with Hearts. And I know people like numbers, so I'll say some numbers. The $200,000 is of monetary donations that have come in through all the chapters. Now, that's really the only metric that we could use to put a number on things, because we also get donated a lot of gifts, like probably tens of thousands of dollars of actual gifts over the years. But we would only be estimating a number on what that value is. We have no idea. People drop off, boxes of gifts sometimes. And so the $200,000 is the minimum, bare minimum of what we've been able to raise. And I still think that's pretty incredible for an organization that doesn't spend any money on advertising, and that every single cent goes to the families. I mean, you've seen it firsthand from day one as an onlooker, and I don't get it. I don't get why it works, to be honest. But it's like, again, it goes back to that enthusiasm thing. I truly believe that people, through my posts, I truly believe that people can tell that I do care about trying our best to solve this problem. And that means a lot to me, that it's basically an organization that's built on trust. I'll tell you a quick story, and that I found out last year about what Friends with Hearts actually does. That I think it actually does. This is my interpretation, and it took me 9 years to realize it. So the way it kind of started was when I came back from Haiti the first time, someone said to me, why are you going down there instead of helping out in your own city? And at first I was just kind of, I brushed it off, but then it kind of like stuck with me. Like, should I do something here? And I found an image or a photo of me from Christmas when I was a kid, and I was playing with a Ghostbusters car, and just looking at that photo, I could recall what I was feeling that day and that joy. And it hit me that, like, man, some kids don't get to experience this, and that's super unfortunate. So I thought, well, let's see if we can change that and help out a family this year. And I contacted, it was actually the Children's Aid at the time, and they said, okay, so we have this program. It costs roughly $250 to sponsor a family based on like how many, what size of family they give you. Okay, cool. So I put out a tweet and I was like, let's do this with friends, because the one thing I learned in Haiti was the Haitians are, as we all know, incredibly poor financially, right? But they're incredibly rich socially. Like, what I witnessed out there on how they take care of each other and family and friends was insane. It was something I've never witnessed before. Here, we don't even say hi to our neighbor, right? So I wanted to bring that social aspect back to Canada. Now, so I thought with Friends with Hearts, hey, let's do this as a group. Let's do it with friends. That trying to raise $250, I'll throw in $25 and get 9 other people to throw in $25, and we'll do it together. Put out a tweet, hey, is anyone interested in donating $25, looking for 9 people to sponsor a family this Christmas? And it just kind of like snowballed from there. And we had a ton of people. Yeah, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. And ended up raising $1,400. So we took care, ended up taking care of 2 families that year, 1 normal size and 1 large family. Amazing. Do it the second year, I think we raised like just over $3,000 or something around there. So what we were doing was we were taking care of these families at Christmas. And going back to like when I started, I was in this like, I want to change the world mode. You know, everyone has those kind of like feelings. I'm going to change the world. So, you know, I'm trying to change the world through Christmas and do it every year, every year, and every year. Now, last year, I was watching a documentary on Netflix. It was on Bill Gates. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not.
I have not.
And it was really, really good. And they were documenting his journeys around the world, and how he's like curing diseases in third world countries. And there was one part of it where they were trying to create this toilet that would run basically without plumbing, and that it would, you know, just recycle its own waste and it would function off that, and something crazy. And he put out this actual contest to these engineers and like, hey, I'm trying to come up with this. The winners gets whatever. And the ideas that they were coming up with were insane. And throughout the whole documentary, it made me realize that these are the people that are actually going to change the world. And because they're so super intelligent, like their intelligence is on another level. And I'm not saying this that, and it made me realize I'm not going to change the world because I'm not intelligent enough to do it. And that's not a slight towards me. That's just a self-realization that, and just, like I said, being just self-aware that these guys are and girls are so, so smart. And we need these people to do these amazing things. So what that made me realize with Friends with Hearts is what I believe that we're doing is all of these kids who are helping out at Christmas, they are in, you know, low income families, whatever. But, you know, the stats will say a lot of these kids are going to go and lead lives of gangs and drugs and alcohol and jail. I mean, those are just the stats that say that. So with Friends with Hearts, if we catch these kids at a crossroads, let's say they go left or go down that path to jail, but if we show them some love by taking care of them at Christmas, something as small as a toy or a winter coat or boots or something, and they feel loved, maybe now they take that path right. Maybe now they go to school. Maybe now that's the intelligent person that goes on to cure cancer. Maybe that's the kid that goes on to cure, you name it, you know, diabetes, dementia, figures out some sort of crazy technology to change the world. And it was kind of an aha moment for me about what Friends with Hearts is actually doing. And it was like, that's amazing. And that's why we got to keep doing it, because we have no idea who these kids might be if we show them some love. And it was super, super fascinating to me to, you know, finally figure that out, which was incredible.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. So a big thing about Friends with Hearts is, like, I've given from day one, and it's just something, you just feel a part of it, right? Because of everything you're saying. As soon as somebody donates, they get a thank you. But it's just a whole community thing, right? You can feel... you feel like you're a part of it, right? So one of the things you do have done is you have a wrapping party, right?
Yeah.
With everything going on this year, Any plans to do a virtual wrapping party or what?
So for people listening, every year we do a big wrapping party where we get all the gifts and invite the community to come out and help wrap all the gifts and for these kids. And it's a great time. It's like kickstarts the Christmas spirit in a lot of people. We got food, we got coffee, water, drinks, some local politicians, Thai cats, you name it, come out. And it's a great day. We do this big team photo at the end, and but now with COVID, there's no way we can do it this year, unfortunately. So, because we're partnered with Good Shepherd. Now, Good Shepherd sponsor a family program. They request that all the gifts that come in unwrapped. They make an exception for us because, of the volume of gifts that we deliver to them, as well as they know how amazing of a day it is. So they make an exception for us. So this year we are just going to deliver the gifts unwrapped, which is like just the, it'll work. It'll be fine. We'll deliver them. We'll put them all on the table, do a group photo. We had ideas of virtual wrapping parties where everyone, kind of does it at home. Maybe just like a massive Zoom call. The problem is logistically, getting all the gifts, because they have to be in by a certain time. So it just wouldn't work out time-wise for everyone to do it. Would we get them all the gifts? How would that work? So it just made sense this year that we're going to deliver them. I think we're only allowed a few people in the place that they're being dropped off at, and they'll just be unwrapped. I know the social workers will love it, because what happens is the social workers for the different families then come to like the massive pile that we have, and they put together little packages for the families that they're taking care of. Now, when we wrap them, we put little sticky notes on it and kind of describe best as we can what's in the gift. Now, with them being unwrapped, it'll just be a lot easier for them. It's unfortunate. We'd love to do it. It just, hopefully we can next year, because it's a day I look forward to every single year. The news comes, and it's just, it's another way for people to help out. If a lot of people say, I don't have money this year, what can I do? Come help wrap, and it's, to me, it's another way for people to see what's going on and to be part of it. And now parents are starting to bring their kids out, and the kids are starting to learn at such a young age what giving back is all about, which is really, really cool, to get that kind of idea into their head as soon as possible.
In all honesty, I haven't attended a wrapping party, and it's one of the things that was on my list to do, just because the video you create afterwards, every year I'm like, man, I should have been there, but
well, there's always next year.
Yeah, for real. Listen, what's the deadline for giving?
So this year, deadline for donations is December 11th. Dropping all the gifts off on the 13th.
Jay, you're on every social media platform that's available right now, I think.
Except for TikTok. I still don't get that.
So every other platform but TikTok, people are hitting you up at Jay Perry, correct?
Yeah, it's all Jay Perry across the board.
Jay Perry. And then if you're going old school, it's just friendswithhearts.com.
Yeah. There's no Friends with Hearts Instagram or anything like that. I just, each like chapter kind of like does their own social media through their own Facebook. Facebook's a big one for Friends with Hearts. It's kind of the one I use most. I post a lot during this season. It's funny on it. I've been posting a lot on Instagram too. And I said this to a friend yesterday. It's like I posted 17 posts in the last 23 days in November. And previous to that, I made 12 all year. So it's crazy how much Friends with Hearts consumes my socials, which is like, it's why I do it. I give up, I always get super nervous on how much I post and if people are going to get upset with me. I do lose like a lot of followers and friends during Friends with Heart season, but that's fine. Because of like the impact that we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the trade-off is worth it personally, but
100%.
So, those are the ways you can get involved. Anything else you want to say?
No, I think that, you know, what you guys are doing with this podcast is pretty awesome, right? You're probably giving, you know, hope to a lot of people who might think that their disability is something that, you know, should hinder them. Their disability shouldn't hinder them to live life. And you guys are walking proof of it. Or can I make a joke and say rolling proof too? Is that
it would be a podcast if the other two guys were there, they would have chimed in.
Perfect.
Yeah. So,
and you know what, that's interesting because like whether you're, you know, able to walk, you know, I know sometimes you walk, sometimes you're in a chair. For anyone that does listening and doesn't know Andy, when I'm chatting with Andy and he's standing up and then he sits down in his chair, he doesn't change. You know, he's still the exact same person. We still have the exact same conversations. So if people are listening and, you know, they're so-called, I do this with air quotes, able body, if you're looking at somebody that maybe might have a disability in your eyes and you're, you know, nervous or scared to talk to them or approach them, I mean, don't, because like, I think that's what's wrong with this world is that we're judging too many people by what we see instead of actually getting to know somebody, which is, you know, the ultimate thing for humanity and friendship is just to create more connections that way. And, you know, I'm so happy that our paths crossed. And, you know, I'm a better person for knowing you, which is, you know, and your family too. You know, you guys are amazing. And I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing and you're defying what some people think is the laws of science when it's like, it's not, right? If you really want to do something, you just, like I said, you play the hand that you're dealt the best that you can and no excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't give my dad enough credit. He, at a very young age, he was always, I had to prove to him I actually couldn't do things before he was always pushing me to do things before he would accept me telling him I can't, right? So that's a huge part of, it's nothing I haven't shared before, but it's a huge part of who I am. And
yeah, you know, I do think that there is limitations in the world that people have, and it's a very interesting thing, and I'd love to go into it like someday with somebody. Like, am I going to be an NBA basketball player? No, of course not, right? So I believe that there are limitations in a certain realm, but I don't think that like a disability should be the cause or whatever to whatever you really want to do in life. Yeah. You know, like a lot of people, if they were in your situation, they probably think I can't get on a plane and go to a third world country that doesn't have paved roads. Like, are you crazy? And it's like, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am crazy. But you know what? I'm going to live this life the best that I can. You know, life is short. Let's just figure it out. Let's just go and then figure it out as we go along, which I think is incredible. you know, and you surround yourself with a team of people that are really encouraging, which there was when we went to Haiti. There was a lot of people around there that, like, you know, talk to you for who you were. And if you needed a hand to get in the car, I give you a hand. Not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
We all need hands sometimes. We all need a helping hand. And
you know me well enough. We've known each other long enough. I'm pretty stubborn sometimes. And like Haiti was huge for that, because there were things that I couldn't do without help. Like, usually I'll figure out a way to get stuff done, but I think, exactly what you're saying. I think,
I'm kind of the same way as you. It's like, I struggle with people helping me. I don't know why I struggle with it. I noticed that when I was taking care of my dad too, and I had to like learn to like step back, because I always want to be there and do whatever we can for him. But him thinking like, just get out of here, right? Like, I can do this. Stop helping me. And yeah. I suck at if people give me credit or taking compliments, I'm terrible at it. And like, it's so funny because, you know, we started this thing called Friends with Hearts that gives gifts to kids, but I struggle when people give me gifts. I'm so bad when someone gives me a gift, because I don't need it. I don't need a gift. I don't want it, but I understand what they're trying to do. But I hear you. Like, everyone needs a helping hand sometimes. And there are times where, when I was going through my caregiving role, I look back now, I wish I would have reached out to some people that and asked for help, because I did need it. And nobody knew, because I did it in silence.
Yeah, well, what's the cliche? Hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah.
Use that one, live and learn, whatever you want to say. But I think, I don't know. I think, again, we've said it a few times, we do the best with what we can, and there's no, it's going to be funny, but there's no handbook for dealing with a loved one going through a terminal illness, right?
No, there's not. And that's why I tried to create, like, not a handbook, but a slice, because everyone's situation is completely different. So it's just a look into what I think that my book does most effectively, if you want to call that for other people, is like, because their situation is different, you know, it might not relate to what I went through, but what they do relate with is that they're not alone. And that seems to be an important thing for a lot of people, is to realize that they're not going through this alone, that there's other people in the world in the exact same situation as them. And, you know, they've managed to pull through, not easily, for sure. And I think that's that kind of theme is this podcast, right? That you guys are telling people, to others who might have a disability, you're not alone, and you can overcome anything if you, you know, really, really want to, I guess, which is incredible for what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, man. And to be honest, I can't think of a better place to end the podcast. I'm not going to top that. So, this is the part of the show where I say, if you are new to listening to the No Excuses podcast, we are available on every platform. You can go back and check it out. Jay, man, I really appreciate your time. We had a couple of hiccups even today, and it turned out to be a great hour or so of conversation. So I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Noah, thanks for having me on. Again, if you want to do this another time as well, I'm game. You guys are doing something amazing, so kudos to you guys.
Yeah, so friendswithhearts.com. Check it out. Jay Perry. I guess I got to say at Jay Perry, right? That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. See you, man.